This is Jaguars Postgame, presented by Baptist Health System, GEICO, Rouse Chiropractic Clinic, and by Everbank. Stand by for highlights and the best analysis of today's Jaguars game. We go back to the broadcast booth. Here's Brian Sexton.
All right, time for the postgame show. Brian Sexton along with Tony Boody.
I thought it was just going to be Tony Boselli here in the booth.
Hey, Joe.
CenturyLink Field. That's a long run, though.
I know. Have I ever failed to get back?
It was going to be close. And what we're talking about is there had to be a bathroom break. And the bathroom from where we are is a long way away.
It's a long.
I give you credit. You are like a superhero when it comes.
Well, you just pull the lever and go.
Back.
Absolutely. I don't want to ever leave you hanging.
We are under control. Joe is going to step up with the docile sound of his beautiful voice. And we are going to bring this thing home.
All right. Well, we are bringing this thing home here in the next couple hours after 10 days. On the West Coast, the Jaguars unable to find their first win of the season, falling 45-17 today. Just some initial observations. Early on, the Jaguars struggled to do anything offensively. They went 3-and-out on their first four drives. Their first 12 plays were for a total of minus 7 yards, Tony. And I'm wondering if you look at that offensive line, if they're just not playing very well at all, or if it's scheme. What do you think?
Well, no, it's not scheme. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the five guys up front. You got to block the guy in front of you, and you can't give up the consistent penetration that the Seahawks had. I mean, they went backwards for the entire first quarter, ending up with minus 9 for the first quarter. It wasn't until the second quarter they got anything going at all. And so it was a struggle, and it put the defense in a bunch of very difficult and tough, bad situations. Listen, the defense did not play well today. Giving up 479 yards of total offense, 323 through the air, 156 on the ground, and 45 points. But up against the wall early. And we said it in the broadcast that the Jaguars were having to drive the entire field, playing on a 100-yard field, and the Seahawks in the first quarter and a half were playing on the Jaguars' side of the 50 the entire time. And so it was a tough start, but I'll stand by it. And Jeff and I don't know if we disagreed, but he is not as convinced as I am. I think this team does not give up on Gus Bradley. And I know it's early in the year, and Jeff is right about that. There's a long way to go, and we'll see how this thing progresses. I guess it is dangerous to jump to conclusions, but I'll tell you this. In a situation like this, 10 days on the road, on the West Coast, down 24-0, and it's going sideways fast.
Right.
It's not going sideways. It's going backwards.
Well, let me
tell
you.
And this team didn't quit.
Let me tell you why I think that's important, and then you either correct me or confirm it. You know, you have got a coach and a general manager who have a major rebuilding job, and they have got to change the culture. Anyone who's heard Gus, whether it's radio, TV, or read him on Jaguars.com, knows that he keeps talking about changing the culture. It's a massive, massive undertaking. And the one thing you can see with an 0-3 team that, as you said, is sliding sideways on him right now is that they continue to fight and continue to play. And that's not been the case in Jacksonville consistently the last 2 years.
No, and I've heard people say, you know, how long is Gus going to stay positive for? Let me tell you how long he has to stay positive for. He has to stay positive for the entire – every day throughout the season because guess what? A young team, it's the third youngest roster in the entire NFL – and on top of that, it's a beat-up roster. You have a bunch of young guys playing. We had three rookies start in the secondary. You had rookies on the offensive side of the ball. And when it's going tough, going bad, screaming, yelling, being negative, and saying all the things that they're not good at, which I think sometimes that's what the fans want.
Right.
They want someone to be beaten and bludgeoned because – and I get that they're not happy. I get that this isn't going how anyone wants it. But Gus has to stick to his convictions, and I believe he will. And that's why I believe that this team won't quit, that we will see through a 16-game schedule they will get better. They were better today. I know it's a 45-17, and everyone said, oh, how can you say that? Because I watched the game. They competed. They were better. They were outmanned. Seattle's a better team. They are a better ball club than the Jacksonville Jaguars at almost every position, if not every position. And that's what happens when you get in those situations and coming on their turf where they don't lose. Russell Wilson's never lost here. And Gus Bradley and this Jaguars team and the entire staff and everyone who's involved in the football have to literally, and the fans aren't going to like to hear this and the media might not like to hear this, you have to close your ears to anything that happens outside this building. No voice outside the building matters. You have to stick to your plan. You have to stick to your convictions and go forward because they believe what they are building here is being built for the long haul and not an immediate fix. They could have gone and got a bunch of
money in free agents
and kept a couple of the guys and maybe scratched or fought to 6 to 8 wins. But are you any better over the long haul if you
do
that?
No, because you don't have the cornerstones. And I think when you look at this big picture, folks, and we'll go through the numbers in a minute while we wait for Jeff, but when you look at this thing big picture, it's like 1995. And if Tom Coughlin told me once, he told me 10 times back that season that it was about identifying core players going forward in order to draft and play in free agency and build around them. So that's what they're doing. And look, whether Blaine Gabbert's the quarterback or not, we're going to find out because he's going to be back in the lineup at some point. He's going to have his chance. The Jaguars are going to have to find the quarterback. Seattle's got it. How good would they be without Russell Wilson? They'd be good, but they wouldn't be this good.
No, he is a special player. Now, I haven't quite anointed him like you and Mr. Logan.
We were making comparisons
Peyton
about
Manning or Tom Brady or Drew Brees.
Well, the numbers say that, that
you
he
can
belongs.
Number all you want.
That he belongs he in that not, vein no, of quarterback.
You're
going to the other direction. We weren't talking about him as being that yet, but we talked about him being
the guy who
makes people better around
to
him.
To your point, he is an outstanding football player. And if the young quarterbacks, I would say it's Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson, 1 and 1A. You know, you could argue who's better.
Right.
Both outstanding players out of that draft last year And Seattle is the best team in the NFL right now partly because of Russell Wilson. That coupled with the fact that they're the most physical team, they have the best defense in the NFL, and they have a very good running back, and they're well coached. Besides that, I'm not sure what the problem is, but that's why they're pretty dang good.
Well,
and listen, and I'm going to go back to it because I want to make sure that everyone understands. Seattle wasn't like this a few years ago. They were not very good at all when Pete Carroll got here.
But Jim Moore got fired in one year
because they couldn't. They were terrible, and he had a conviction. He came in here, and I talked to some of the media, the Seattle media, and they said the first year that Pete was here, it was a revolving door on the transaction wire, and that's what we're going to see here. Now they were a little bit further ahead because they had some more talent. I mean, listen, we can go through and for another day, another time, Monday night, maybe we'll do this of the missed draft choices and missed things with David Caldwell and Gus Bradley walked into. They got to stay the course. Listen, 45-17, I've been a part of those. I remember 1995. It was miserable.
I do.
And
let's just lay down.
I'll just say this. I would have liked some more positive back in 1995.
Yeah, right.
Tom Coughlin was beating us over the head.
Tom Coughlin's Giants are 0-3. They got beat 38-0 today. Thank goodness.
Much worse
we're
situation
not on his
there.
Plane ride home for 6 hours. I will, though, point it out. You don't have your first-round pick from 03. 04, 05, 07, 08. 9 is not playing all that well in Eugene Monroe. 10 is just a guy after injuring his knee. 11 is injured in a quarterback who's not playing. 12 is suspended for the first 4 games of the year. 13 is, think about that, folks. Think about the quality of player that you pick in the first round or that you're supposed to pick in the first round, and the Jaguars are competing without all of that. So what I'm saying is give Gus and Dave time to go and make good choices. They haven't had the time yet, and 45-17 is the score there.
And I'll just add to this. This team will be much better when Mercedes Lewis and Justin Blackmon get back on the field.
You bet. All right, let's check in down in the Jaguars locker room. Jeff Loggeman is standing by with head coach Gus Bradley. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian. Gus, obviously a tough team to play against on the road, hostile environment, and they are. You know them very well. One hell of a football team.
Yeah, they are. Very good. Very well coached. Very disciplined. It's tough to get yards on a defense like that.
Your offense continues to struggle in the first half, but in the second half, after the fumbled exchange with Denard Robinson, I think it was 3 out of 4 drives, they started to show some improvement.
Yeah, they did. You know what? We came in at halftime, and we're just doing some things now. Even if we start to get some yards on a drive, we shoot ourselves in the foot, and that's both offense and defense. And I thought in the second half we came back and executed. I can't fault our guys. They're extremely competitive, but we're not doing well enough to sustain any drives.
Early in that ball game, Marshawn Lynch kind of got started. I think at one point he was close to 100 yards pretty early in that ball game. you really got to stop him before you can get to Russell Wilson, isn't
it? Yeah, and that was the plan. I think, you know, they got some movement passes on us, but our idea was to go in there and do everything we can to hold Marshawn down. And we felt that was really where everything started. But to their credit, they had some nice plays off of it, some bootlegs off it that got some yards. But it comes back to be execution. Some of those things we know by splits, alignments, we have a pretty good idea when they're coming, and then we just got to execute.
What's the next step for this team to take that progressive step in offense?
Well, like I told them in there, I said, you know what, their spirit, their competitiveness, that's not to be evaluated. They were very strong in that area. But we can't continue to go like this, where we make mistakes that jeopardize our ability to be successful in the end. And we have to stay committed to one another and really lock in and become more of a disciplined team.
Early in the game, Dwight Lowry went out with an injury. Is that the only injury to report, and how's Dwight?
Yeah, Dwight, I think he's going to be evaluated for concussion as well as Will Blackman.
All right, thank you, guys.
Okay, thank you.
All right, that was the Baptist Injury Update presented by Baptist Health System, changing healthcare for good. And Gus Bradley and our entire broadcast brought to you today by Crown Royal Maple. Whiskey started, Maple finished. 45-17, the outcome as most expected. We'll go through some of the numbers. Jeff Loggeman will talk to players in the locker room when we return to the Pacific Northwest here on Jaguars Radio. All right, welcome back to CenturyLink Field in Seattle for more postgame show. Brian Sexton, Tony Boselli in the booth. Jeff Loggeman in the locker room with Cecil Shorts, who finished with 8 catches and 143 yards. That's a career high. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian. Cecil, how frustrating is it to play against a team and where in the second half they're playing backups?
It's frustrating, you know? You want to, no matter what the score is or whatever, I want to compete against their best. And second half, they, really on the offense side of the body, but, you know, they took Russell out or whatever. And it's frustrating. It makes it makes you angry, honestly. And it's something that, you know, we just got to continue to work and get better and put this behind us and get ready for Indy next week.
Last week, you guys had a lot of what I consider self-inflicted wounds early in that ball game. Today, not as much. Second half, you seem to find a rhythm. What's the next step for this offense to find that rhythm earlier in a ball game?
Got to get going early. We got to figure it out, watch film. We got to get it going early. We can't wait till the second half to get things going. That's not going to work in this league. You get too far behind. We keep putting our defenses in bad situations. I think our defense is playing relatively well. We just can't put them – they're on the field too much. And when you do that, that hurts your team. And we got to do better in offense, like I said, in the first half, and get things going earlier in the game. And we'll find a way to do it.
It's probably frustrating. You probably want to make excuses. But how anxious are you to get the band back together, so to speak? You and Blaine and Justin and Mercedes all together.
I'm looking forward to it. But at the same time, you gotta deal with the task at hand. You know what I mean? So. Hopefully Mercedes can be ready when he's ready next week. We'll have Black week 5. Maurice Soutine's getting healthy. He looked better today. It was good to see him, seeing show flashes running the ball and getting loose a little bit. He was smiling out there, so it's good to have him out there running. But, Blaine will be back in a few, hopefully, soon. But we'll see what happens, you know what I mean? I love the guys that were going out there competing. Chad competes his butt off. I love that man to death. He just competes like no other. And what was the other team? You know what I mean? Coach Bradley really preaches on competing. I think we compete well. We just have to do little things better. The details of the plays and whatnot. Like I said, we'll learn from it and continue working.
All right. Thanks, Cecil.
Thank you.
Tony, here's what impressed me today and last week to that point, too. Shorts is the marked man without Justin Blackman, with Maurice not 100%. He's the one guy out there that threatens, and today he came up with some big plays, a 59-yarder when the Seahawks' number one defense was still on the field.
Yeah, listen, I don't care who's out there. The fact that he continues to be the guy that every defense is going to look at, and every guy he's going to be the focus, and he's making some nice plays. Now, you like it to get it started a little bit earlier and get the guys on the same page, and I'm sure Cecil will look at the film and think he can do some things better, and there's some balls that could have been thrown better, but – he's a guy that I believe, will continue to grow. He's still a young player and is going to develop into, I think he is right now, obviously, the primary weapon here. But as this team gets better, he's going to be one of the guys that you build this offense around because he's a playmaker.
So here are the numbers. Chad Henne completed 18 of 38 for 235, two interceptions, a passer rating today of 45.4. We mentioned Cecil's numbers. Tied a career high with 8 catches for a career high 143 yards. Stephen Burton had 5 for 42. Ace Sanders had 2 for 25. And Maurice Jones-Drew had 2 for 19. The rushing numbers modest. Maurice 19 carries for 43 yards. He did get his first touchdown of the year. The Jaguars overall only 51 yards on the game. Russell Wilson, 14 of 21 for 202 yards, 4 touchdowns and an interception. Tavares Jackson, 7 of 8 for 129 and a touchdown. Both quarterbacks were terrific today. Russell Allen knows as well as anyone, and he is with Jeff Loggeman right now in the Jaguars locker room. Jeff.
All right, thank you, Brian. Russell, a stiff challenge going against one hell of a football team on the road in a place that just rocks like no other.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good football team. We knew that going in. They're rolling right now. They're feeling really good about what they're doing. And, they executed really well today.
For you guys to stop them offensively, Marshawn Lynch was the first step. He got off to some yardage early on in that ballgame. That certainly would make it more difficult to stop Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, Marshawn Lynch is the real deal. And we knew that going in. That was the number one priority for us, and we didn't do a good enough job of stopping him. And it's something that we have to get corrected in a hurry. We need to play better run defense to give ourselves a chance.
Is it deflating as a defense where the offense is having, 50-yard first half, and you guys are out there, and it's, I don't want to say there's no glimmer of hope, but it's frustrating.
Well, it's frustrating how we've executed as an entire football team. Like I said, we're not stopping the run. We're allowing way too many yards, staying on the field way too long. And our offense has got to improve as well. There's 53 of us out there, and we all got to improve.
All right, thank you, Russell.
You got it.
All right, that's Russell Allen. Marshawn Lynch only carried 17 times for 69 yards, an average of 4.1 per carry, but he really didn't need to with the way that Russell Wilson was playing today. Golden Tate, 5 for 88, most of those against the rookie corner Demetrius McCray, who started his first career game, the seventh-round pick from Appalachian State. Sidney Rice had 5 for 79 and 2 touchdowns. Zach Miller also had a pretty good day, 2 for 5 and 2 touchdowns. The numbers, well, it just is what it is. Today, the Seahawks roll up on the Jaguars, 45-17, the final. Before we do the Bud play of the game, any final thoughts?
Listen, you got to go back to work. I mean, Gus Bradley preaches it, and I believe it. It's about getting better week in, week out. You got to improve. It's doing the little things. He talked about that with Jeff. You can't question this team's competing and fighting and playing hard. But if you can couple that with getting rid of those small mistakes that kill drives or extend drives for the opponent, you're going to give yourself a chance to win ball games as the season goes on.
All right, getting better as the season goes along is the key for this young football team. Time for our Bud Light play of the game. Jaguars trailed in this one 31-0. Into the second quarter, they punted, and for the first time, it seemed, in the entire game, they were able to pin the Seahawks deep in their own territory. The drive began at their own 2, and on 2 first and second down plays, the Jaguars defense stopped Marshawn Lynch. Third down, out rolls Russell Wilson, looking to do what he had done most of the first half, make plays on the move. This time, though, it went the Jaguars' direction.
He's hit in the backfield. Now riding out to his right, turns and throws, and it's tipped, intercepted. Puzzlusty's got it. He's at the 5, and he falls down near the 3.
That's Paul Puzzlusty.
The Jaguars set up a scoring opportunity of their own.
That's Paul Puzzlusty setting up what would be 2 plays later. Maurice Jones-Drew's first touchdown of the season. Got the Jaguars on the board. Too little, too late, but it's our Bud play of the game brought to you by Bud Light, the sure sign of a good time. Here we go. A 6-hour plane ride home.
Oh, looking forward to it.
But the good news is we're looking forward to getting back to Jacksonville after 10 days.
Well, I just got here yesterday. You've been gone for a long time.
Yeah. If her radio is still on, Jen, I'm coming. The Calvary's on the way.
You need to go help with those boys here.
Oh, yeah, and there's a lot of people on this broadcast crew. Jeff has been gone all week, and Scott and Joe, I mean, we've been here. We're ready to come home, ready to see this thing through.
Are you saying I'm the only one that kind of bailed on everybody?
Yeah, because you didn't come back until yesterday. But it's good to have you, big boy.
It was good to be here.
We appreciate it, Tony Buscelli. Lots of people to thank. Brent Martineau, he was out here all week as well on our sidelines today. And the entire crew back in Jacksonville, I'm ready to sign this thing off, get on the plane, and come home. So for Scott Kushner and Joe Fortunato and Jeff Loggeman and Brent Martineau, and Tony Buscelli, thanks to everybody who makes our broadcast possible. The Jaguars fall to 0-3, come home for a home match against Andrew Luck and the Colts next Sunday at Everbank Field. That'll do it for the Pacific Northwest. J.P. Shadrick and Marco Coleman are next on the Jaguars Radio Network. Good night, everybody.
Fact, tailgating is just as much a sport as any sport it precedes or follows. A party, you say? Psh, this takes serious skill. Ever seen a man take steak orders from across a parking lot with hand signals? The mind of an athlete. Ever seen a woman feed a group of 40 with sandwiches in 5 minutes? She has a theme. She has a plan. She has pimento cheese. Now that is a Hail Mary.
Publix is your tailgate party headquarters. For fresh fried chicken, teas, and fixings to all the paper products you need, stop in this season to stock up and save big. Only at Publix, where shopping is a pleasure.
We're back in Bob's living room with 2 minutes left on the clock.
All right, let's go, Jags.
Here comes Jackson DeVille, ziplining through the house.
Oh!
Oh, guess we should have removed that window. Third and one, we need to stop here. Buzz Lesney just pulverized that bookcase.
Dude!
Touchdown, Jacksonville!
I gotta get me some tickets.
Your living room will never be as exciting as Everbank Field. Get your tickets now. Call 904-633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Stand united.
Hey, Jags fans, put that cash back in your wallet and break out the Jaguars Visa debit card instead. Available exclusively through Everbank, you can score one by visiting a local financial center or at everbank.com/jagscard. This card yields to no one and is yours free when you open an Everbank Yield Pledge checking account featuring powerful mobile banking apps and unlimited U.S. ATM reimbursements when you maintain a minimum average balance. So claim your Jags card at a local Everbank financial center near you or by visiting everbank.com/jagscard. Everbank is an equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You know what's good on game day? Barbecue. Well, barbecue is good on any day, but it's extra good on game day, especially when it's Sonny's Barbecue, like Sonny's dry rubbed wings. Hearty chicken wings, hand-seasoned with Sonny's signature spices. The perfect finger food for hungry football fans. Or Sonny's tailgate feast for four with smoked pork, beef brisket, barbecue chicken, and ribs, plus sidekicks, bread, and drinks. So whether you're tailgating at the stadium or cheering from your couch, Sonny's is your game day go-to for slow-smoked barbecue. Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmasters since 68.
Like I told him in there, I said, you know what, their spirit, their competitiveness, that's not to be evaluated. That they were very strong in that area. But we can't continue to go like this where we make mistakes that, jeopardize our ability to be successful in the end. And, we have to stay committed to one another and really lock in and become more of a disciplined team.
The comments of head coach Gus Bradley after today's loss in Seattle. Final score, Seahawks 45, Jaguars 17. Jaguars postgame rolls along. J.P. Shadrick joined by Marco Coleman in the HananiaAutos.com studio. Boy, Marco, today the Jags outgained 479 yards to 265. The Jags with only 51 yards rushing in this game today. And from the outset, all Seattle all the time.
A lot of it. I mean, but it two different teams in two different places. You figure, obviously, the team is in a rebuilding phase, a lot similar to what Seattle was several years ago. I think they have to be a little happy to see the effort is there. You know, the team is not quitting. You know, the roster, of course, is nowhere near the Seahawks. So as they're rebuilding, I think effort is going to be a big evaluating tool as to find out who's going to be the core guys, is going to be to hang around and take this team where it needs to go.
In most every game, you know, those turnovers, those real mistakes are big. But against a team like Seattle, they can turn a turnover like that into points really quick, and that's what happened today, and that's what really got this thing out of reach.
Yeah, you know, you figure – but you got to have some of the guys that are veterans to step up. You figure in that front seven, on defense, you have the majority of the experience, especially with those back-end guys that are young. And you figure out right there, like you mentioned, the turnovers being a big deal. The offense gives the ball up on that last 2 minutes of that first half. And in 44 seconds, that offense was able to get down the field. Now, with a pass rush – a little bit more help from those guys in the front seven where you had the experience, that probably could have changed that, and didn't see enough of that during the course of this game.
Don't forget there were, three starting rookies in the secondary today?
Yeah, but at the same time, they're like Babbin on the offsides. You know, he's a veteran. You can't have jump off sides and continue to give a team like the Seattle Seahawks momentum or to help them to get a first down. I think it was second down and – five, you jump off sides, and all of a sudden you give Russell Wilson and that offense three more tries at it, along with field position. So there were some missed tackles. Even saw, Puz Lesney, he flies around, a lot of great effort, but leaves some plays on the field, a few missed tackles, a couple of the tight ends getting past him. Even off, there were situations where they could have helped themselves, and it wasn't done today.
Lightning fast questions of the game brought to you by Comcast Xfinity. Let's get into these, Marco.
Yes, sir.
Number one, bright spot in the game today for the Jags.
I'm going to have to say on the defense, the turnovers. You know, they made two big turnovers to get the ball back into the offensive hands to get to create some opportunities. They can continue to get those turnovers. That's going to really be a significant way to get themselves back into the right type of footing to have more success in these games.
Block punt, too, later.
Block punt, yeah, exactly. We figured in the special teams. You know, if they can get turnovers, that's going to be huge. Make some plays.
Number two, what can Jaguars fans be excited about, really hold on to after?
And I'm not being facetious about this, but the future, you know, and not so long. You know, I think later on in the year, you're going to see a better football team. It's a lot of youth, the third youngest team in the league. So you figure those safeties back there that are young, getting also healthy. You figure you get Gratz back in there. You get Mercedes Lewis back in the game. So the future, I think, is bright in that regard, and not so much next season, but the latter part of the season. You get Blackman back. You know, you get people back. The young guys get more experience. I think you'll see a better football team in the future.
Number three, one thing to help this team get a win.
That's pretty difficult to say, one thing. But if I could say one thing, more productivity on the offense. You figure they're not getting enough big plays. The dead last coming into this game, 3.2 yards per play. That's not going to get it. That's not good at all. Only 4.4 yards a play today. No big plays on offense, so they need some playmakers. And I figure when they get some more help, get guys back, you'll probably be able to see that. So, you know, there's some big plays on offense. That'll be significant for them.
Those are the Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions and answers of the game. The final score again in Seattle today. The Seahawks over the Jaguars with a final count of 45-17. We'll come back with the Metro PCS Sexton summary right after this. It's Jaguars postgame on Jaguars Radio.
This portion of Jaguars postgame is brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation, UL Knowledge Services, Eiselborn Chiropractic and Sports Medicine, Ticket Exchange, and by Everbank. Jaguars postgame continues right now.
Final score from CenturyLink Field in Seattle. The Seahawks over the Jaguars this afternoon, 45-17. Jaguars postgame rolls along. Let's get into the Metro PCS Sexton summary for this one. It started early. Seahawks, though, did have a three and out to begin the game. Jaguars, though, struggled offensively, certainly early in this ballgame. Three and out, punted it away. And then seven plays later, Russell Wilson will roll out, touchdown to Miller.
Here's Wilson, hands, no, it's play action. He drops back, he's got a tight end all by himself. Touchdown, Zach Miller.
Seven plays, 71-yard drive off the punt, 7-0 Seattle after Jaguars three and out. Babin got a big sack on the third down in the ensuing possession for Seattle. It was a punt situation there. Another sack the first sack of the day for the Seattle defense forced a three and out. The Jaguars, after three possessions, had negative 9 yards of offense, punted it away. Seattle this time goes six plays, 40 yards in 2 minutes, 56 seconds. Wilson to Miller again, this time from 4 yards out.
Three receivers and a tight end. Wilson under center. Brings Doug Baldwin in motion, drops back to throw, wants to throw, now spins away from Mike Harrison. Calmly throws it right to the corner of the end zone where Zach Miller is waiting. Touchdown, Seattle.
What a
second
move.
Of the game.
Extra point made it 14-0 Seahawks. The Jags in the next possession, three and out. A sack included in there. At that point, had negative 7 yards of offense. Punted it away. A field goal from Huska made it 17-0.
So here's a 21-yard field goal attempt by Steven Hauschka to go up 17-0. The snap, the placement, the kick, all good. 9:40 left to play.
That made it 17-0 Seattle. The Jags would go eight plays, 27 yards on the next drive, but still have to punt it away. Ensuing possession, though, for Seattle, a bright spot for Jacksonville today. Another forced fumble by Jonathan Cyprian.
Get to the outside, got hit from behind. The ball is free on the field. The Jaguars have recovered it. Brandon Dedrick's got it at the 45-yard line, and there is a flag down back in the offensive backfield.
Well, the Jaguars unable to do anything with that possession. It was an interception. Wagner picks off Chad Henne with 44 seconds left in the first half.
Three receivers all set to the left this time. Henne back to throw. Steps, turns, and delivers a pass, and this one is tipped, and it's intercepted.
It hung in the air, and somebody dove and picked it off.
That was on their own 21-yard line, 44 seconds left to play. You'd think, you know, maybe they'll run the clock out. No, no, no. Didn't take long. Wilson caps off a drive with 10 seconds to play. 11-yard touchdown to Rice.
Five receivers. Wilson takes the snap. Steps, turns, throws. Touchdown, Sidney Rice.
At the half, it was 24-0. That big turn of momentum right before halftime. 24-0, Seattle. And things didn't go so well at the start of the second half either. It was a wildcat play. Denard Robinson tried to hand off to Ace Sanders. The ball ended up on the ground instead.
Two backs now, three receivers near the 32-yard line. Opening drive, and Denard Robinson is lined up as the quarterback. He'll take it, and oh, it's on the ground. The ball is on the ground, and the ball is bouncing all over the place. The Seahawks have it.
That's a fumble. That was a fumble on a messed up fake handoff. Denard Robinson trying to fake the handoff and then keep it, run up the middle, and the ball squirts out of his hands right up into the middle of the field.
Seattle got the ball. Of course, the ensuing drive, three plays, 33 yards, a minute 26. Wilson to Rice, this time for 23 yards and a touchdown.
Two tight ends, split receivers. First and 10 of the Jaguars, 23-yard line. Lynch deep in the backfield as Rice slides in motion. Here's play action of Russell Wilson. Russell Allen doesn't even know he has it. Russell Wilson just turns and throws, and this one's caught. Touchdown, Sidney Rice.
It's a really great catch by Sidney Rice there. Made it 31-0, Seattle. The Jaguars would get another turnover, though. Paul Posluszny in the third quarter got a pick of Russell Wilson and returned it back inside the five going in.
The same things. He's hitting the backfield. Now riding out to his right, turns and throws, and it's tipped. Intercepted. Posluszny's got it. He's at the five, and he falls down near the three. And the Jaguars set up a scoring opportunity of their own.
Two plays later, Maurice Jones-Drew, a two-yard touchdown run to make it 31-7.
Probably 136.7 decibels. And he hands it off. There's Maurice looking for room. Pushing and fighting. Touchdown, Jacksonville.
Ensuing drive, though, that would make it 31-7. Ensuing drive, though, the starting quarterback, Russell Wilson, pulled from the game. Tavares Jackson would enter. And on his first drive of the afternoon, he would cap it off with a 35-yard touchdown pass to Baldwin. A great catch right at the goal line.
Jackson drops deep in the pocket. Steps, turns, and looks down the field. And he has a target. Did he make the catch? If he did, it's an amazing touchdown catch. Yep, Doug Baldwin.
Wow. That's an amazing one-handed catch, diving into the end zone. And that's a heck of a throw, too, by Tavares Jackson.
Incredible.
38-7 at that point. The Jaguars would get a 33-yard field goal from Scobie. 6 seconds left in the third, 38-10. A Jaguars would then block the next punt for Seattle and then cap it off. They would get a short field, and Jordan Todman gets a 3-yard touchdown run to make it 38-17.
Second and goal to three, four receivers, three of them right. Kenny under center, toss sweep, Maurice, check that. Todman running right, goes to the end zone. Touchdown, Jordan Todman.
38-17 the score. Boy, this would cap off and kind of sum up the day for Seattle, though. Tavares Jackson again goes five plays, 80 yards. He ends it with a keeper for a touchdown.
Tavares Jackson wants to take it himself, and he reaches for the end zone. It's a touchdown.
45-17. That's how it happened today at CenturyLink Field in downtown Seattle. That was the Metro PCS Sexton Summary. With no signed contracts, Metro PCS lets you unlimit yourself. 45-17. When we come back, we'll take a look at Marco's hidden gem from this game. Take a look at the stats. It's a tough one today. The Jags are 0-3. 45-17. More after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. Jaguars postgame rolls along. The final score today in Seattle, Washington. The Seahawks over the Jaguars 45-17. Welcome back inside the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field in Jacksonville. J.P. Shadrick with you. Marco Coleman alongside as we continue to break down today's game. Well, let's start on the offensive side. Certainly early, the Jags in the first half had four straight three and outs to start this game. And, negative 9 yards through three drives, negative seven through four drives. Couldn't do anything on first down, which has been a theme the first couple of games. Mm-hmm. And that makes it harder on second and long and certainly third and long.
Yeah, you figure lack of playmakers. You can see a lack of confidence also in the offensive coordinator with the play calling. perfect examples in that start of that second half. They put Denard Robinson out there. They fumble. They never go back to it again. Having the scramble by Henny on the read option type play, that's in the playbook. Because they don't have enough players to get those plays done, or I would say Fish, it's obvious he doesn't have a lot of confidence. So the playbook is pretty condensed right now. It's not a lot of variety in what the offense is doing, which in turn, what the offensive line is not real good. It's making it tough on them. These guys just teeing off on them on other defensive lines that are a little bit better. More right now, they're more talented, at least the past few games. And I think with some more variety, with allowing the offensive line to move more, it would help them out to get better protection for Henny or whatever quarterbacks that's out there. So, again, I think the condensity of the playbook is hindering the ability of the offense to be creative enough to get some movement as an offensive team.
Couldn't really run the ball too well today either. 24 carries for this team today, 51 yards on the ground today. That's 43 of those from Maurice Jones-Drew, and I think he had an average of 2.3 yards per carry today, and that's not going to get it done.
Well, you know, it's obvious that he's not 100%. You know, he not breaking tackles, doesn't have a burst, and offensive line is not blocking. You're missing Mercedes Lewis, who's really a big part of that running game. I think they're missing Greg Jones right now that's not around. You know, having that lead blocker that for a long time was in front of Maurice and opening up holes for him. Though compounding that along with him not being 100%, I think that's a big reason why the rushing game is not working.
Final score today, 45-17, the Seahawks over the Jaguars. Let's find out your hidden gem. If you have a hidden gem in today's game, I think you might have answered this earlier in your Comcast Xfinity Lightning Fast questions, but, boy, it's tough to – there was some bright spots late in this game because Seattle had put the second team D in. The Jags moved the offense a little bit down the field, got some points later in this game, but – What do you pull from this game today, Marco?
I'm going to tell you, some would probably think Cecil Shorts because of the amount of yards that he had.
Yeah.
But you figure he had 143 receiving yards, but 120 of it came once the second team came in. I'm going to say Burton because when there was all the tough guys were in there, the starters, he was leading in the receptions. I mean, he wasn't a guy that they're probably counting on. I think with Blackman out, he's stepping into that role to be the big physical wide receiver. I would say early – even though he had to drop, he would probably be the brightest spot because he was the only guy that was open.
People are probably asking, who the heck is Stephen Burton? You know, he's in his third year out of West Texas A&M.
Yeah, seventh-round pick to the Minnesota Vikings. But here he is, you know, no Blackman. You don't have that physical presence at wide receiver. Cecil Shorts is just not a physical wide receiver. He's not the go-to. I mean, he's a good wide receiver, and I think he's going to be as good as the rest of the guys around him. He needs a good quarterback. He needs a running game, some stuff that's going to open up to allow him to have those seams where he can find a place to get open. Right now, with the type of defense that these guys play, those corners up in your face, physical, I mean, you're talking about, you know, really, it's almost like Shaq playing against me, you know, 7-footer, and these guys stand over him and you're just towering him. And there was no space, and he's not able to get that space. I left Burton open, so he had a pretty good day early. Then once they brought those second-team guys in, you know, Shorts gave him the business.
Wait, you couldn't handle Shaq? Come on, Marco.
I could handle Shaq if he was running. Well, if I'm running around, I guess I'm trying to say the height. I handle Shaq. In football, I got him. Basketball, I'm going to have some problems.
This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Geico. Putting a winning lineup together is tough. Getting a quote from Geico is not. Visit geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO or contact your local Geico office today. We'll look at some individual stats that stood out for the Jags. It's a tough one today. 45-17 Seahawks over the Jaguars. More Jaguars postgame right after this on Jaguars Radio.
It makes you angry, honestly. And, you know, that's something that, you know, we just got to continue to work and get better and put this behind us and get ready for Indy next week.
Post-game comments of Cecil Shorts III in the locker room at CenturyLink Field earlier with Jeff Lagerman. The final score, Seattle over Jacksonville today, 45-17. Welcome back to Jaguars post-game. J.P. Shadrick along with Marco Coleman in the HananiaAutos.com studio. Okay, Marco, let's get into some of the stats in this game. We start passing today for the Jaguars. Chad Henne, 18 of 38 passing, 235 yards. Two interceptions today, a rating of 45.4, and again, a lot of these yards come late in the ball game, as they did last week in Oakland.
Well, one, a lot of his passes were not good. You know, he has to give guys a better chance, especially along the sidelines. Some of those back shoulder throws that he was trying to get. They were just not accurate at all. And then two guys got to get open. He just doesn't have any weapons. You take Mercedes out of the game. You of course, we know Blackman's not out there. And Cecil Shorts needs those complementary pieces in order for him to get open. So without the weapons, not very talented at the position, that's what you get, a 45% quarterback rating.
Speaking of receivers, Cecil Shorts the third targeted 15 times today. He made 8 receptions. That ties a career high, actually, for the second week in a row. He ties his career high in catches. But a new career high in yardage today, 143 yards, averaged 17.9 per catch, along of 59. And I'll tell you, Marco, this is a game that if he ends up being in Hawaii at the end of the year, this is the game he's going to go back to. He did it with nobody else around him against the best defense in the league.
In the last, I think from the end of the third quarter, last minute, from the last third quarter the third quarter to the end of the game, he only had 3 catches for 23 yards.
Sure.
So the rest of that came once they took out the backups. So guys are watching film. Oh, he's getting all these yards, but it's not against Sherman. Oh, he's getting all these yards, but, you know, so he's not – it was good. I mean, good sure. stats and things of that nature, but he's got to get it when the team needs it the most. To keep this team going, he wasn't able to make the best catches, you know, the real tough catches. Had a touchdown he could have possibly scored, hit him right in the face. Didn't make the big play when he had the opportunity.
It was in the corner. Yeah,
yeah. So he could have, you know, that would have helped the stats also helped the team. It was, you know, it was a crucial score going right there. I believe it was right towards the end of the second half, the first half. So when there was opportunities to make a big play, he didn't do it when it most mattered.
Because they had the interception on the next play.
Exactly.
And then they went down and scored the touchdown right before halftime.
So, you know, the stats can be a little deceiving. So, like I said, not to say Shorts is not a good player, but he needs the rest of those guys around him. He wasn't the first-round pick, Blackman was. So you need to have those guys in there, the superior guys, to create opportunities for those guys who were brought in here to be a part of a supporting cast.
Other receiving stats today, Burton, that was your guy, Marco, 5 receptions, 42 yards today. Ace Sanders, 2 catches later in the game, 25 yards, not much. Jones-Drew, a couple catches, 19 yards today. Tofoa with 1 catch for 6 yards. 235 yards passing today for the Jaguars. On the ground, tough day. 51 yards on the ground today, 43 of those from Maurice Jones-Drew. And as we said earlier, he just doesn't look like the same guy.
Well, it starts up front, too. These guys have to get some movement on that offensive line. Physically, I think they lost the battle, to be honest with you. You know, Maurice also not 100% when he did have those opportunities where he needed to break a tackle or burst past someone, wasn't able to be the special guy that we know him to be. And you know, we know he was kind of banged up coming in. So with him not being 100% and not having a very physical day at the offensive line position, that's what you're going to get, you know, a pretty poor rushing day, basically. So
he did get his 64th career rushing touchdown, his 77th career touchdown overall today. It was from close range in this ball game later. So Henny had 2 scrambles, 5 yards. Todman a couple carries, 5 yards, and a touchdown late as well. It was a 3-yard scoring touchdown. Robinson got credit for a negative 2 yards mm-hmm. rushing.
Wow.
He's got to be better.
Like I said, and really, Fish does not have a lot of confidence in the players that he has out there. I mean, we saw even the second preseason game with Blaine Gabbert out there. That is the most we've seen this offense in a variety of different offensive plays. I mean, they were throwing the ball, rolling out, bootlegging, doing a lot of different things that we just haven't seen since Henny's been in there. And without that, you put more pressure on this offensive line, I think, you know, because they right now the defense knows what's going on. It's too easy. It's too vanilla. And you just don't have the personnel to just line up and say my 11 is better than your 11 and do it in that sort of way. So more variety on that offense. Well, I guess once he gets more confidence in the players that are out there, that will definitely help the offensive production.
This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by Gate. Nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. We'll come back in just a moment and look around the National Football League scoreboard in Week 3. The final in Seattle today. The Seahawks over the Jaguars 45-17. More Jaguars postgame after this on Jaguars Radio. This portion of Jaguars postgame presented by GEICO. GEICO has proudly supported the military for over 75 years. See how much GEICO's military discounts could save you. Go to geico.com, call 1-800-MILITARY, or contact your local Geico agent today. 45-17 final in Seattle. The Seahawks over the Jaguars in Week 3. The Jags fall to 0-3. The Seahawks are probably the strongest team in the league right now at 3-0. We look around the NFL scoreboard in Week 3. One game active. It's the night game on NBC. Bears at Steelers. No score. They're just underway at Heinz Field. Everybody else final. Bengals over the Packers today with 13 fourth quarter points. They beat the Packers 34-30. Cowboys hammer the Rams today 31-7. Titans over the Chargers 20-17. Locker had a touchdown. Browns beat the Vikings for their first win 31-27. Patriots strong in the win against Tampa 23-20. Saints all over the Cardinals 31-7. Breeze with three touchdown passes today, 342 yards through the air. The Lions beat the Redskins 27-20. The Skins are now 0-3. The Giants handed their worst loss in the Tom Coughlin era in Charlotte today. The Panthers 38 and the Giants nothing. Ravens beat the Texans 30-9. And the Dolphins are now 3-0. They beat the Falcons today 27-23. It doesn't even make sense. Dolphins are 3-0.
The Fins.
The Jets beat the Bills today 27-20. 20 penalties today for the Jets. 20 for the Jets in a win. 27-20. The Colts beat the 49ers. Dominant effort today for Indy on the ground 27-7. And of course, this past Thursday, the Chiefs over the Eagles 26-16. Again, the final score in Seattle today, 45-17, Seahawks over the Jags. When we come back, the final segment of Jaguars postgame, Marco Coleman joins us again to get some final thoughts heading into the home matchup next week against Indianapolis. More Jaguars postgame after this on the Jaguars Radio Network. This portion of Jaguars postgame brought to you by Presentation Resource Incorporated. The final score from CenturyLink Field in downtown Seattle, the Seahawks 45 and the Jaguars 17. J.P. Shadrick with Marco Coleman for the final time. Well, Marco, Indianapolis Colts are 2-1 now after a 27-7 win at Candlestick today over the 49ers. They were good as it was, but now they have a running game with Richardson, actually a two-headed running game. They're coming into Everbank next week.
Oh, yeah, and it doesn't bode well for this Jaguar defense, who struggling against the run. Now you're coming in with one of the most premier young running backs in the league with Richardson, and now with all those young guys in the secondary, don't know how long Larry may be out with the head deal.
That's right.
So now you're going to have a lot of youth in that secondary. And you saw today they had problems, especially with the tight end. The safeties have issues in coverage. Good run guys, great effort, but Evans and Cyprian, not the best young cover guys that are out there. So that is going to be a tough challenge for them. A really balanced attack and defensively, I think it's going to be tough. We know what the struggles on offense anyway, that they're having a lot of trouble with scoring. So hopefully Mercedes Lewis may come back, hopefully, and bring a spark when he comes back. He's been out for a while. I don't know how much of a major contribution in the first game back, if he comes back, that he can make, but hopefully his presence can make a difference. But they just got to find a way on offense, man, to be a little bit more – add some variety, take advantage. I mean, go ahead. You don't have nothing to lose. Go ahead and open up the playbook. I mean, make Chad Henne roll out, and, even though it's not his strong suit, even though Denard Robinson fumbled, do some of those plays that, that we saw the team do during the preseason. I think that variety, if nothing else, will give him an opportunity, because what's going on right now is not getting it done. So hopefully they'll go back to the drawing board and figure out some things offensively that they can get done, feel a little bit more comfortable with. But I think more variety is definitely going to be needed against this Indianapolis attack.
And the top story this week will be which quarterback plays, because this was the week where Blaine Gabbert could be back most likely. He was throwing the ball this week in San Jose too.
Well, you figure if he comes back, then that playbook will be open, because a lot of plays that were ran that had the more, had more variety, those were Gabbert's plays. He's more athletic. So now, like I said, and hopefully Mercedes, I'm not sure exactly where he is. I would hope that he'll be able to make it back this game. If you get that, then, I think that will definitely help the team by just the offense doing a little bit more than what's going on in the play calling. And that's going to come with the confidence, I'm sure, of the offensive coordinator and what personnel he has available.
Marco, great stuff as always.
Good job, man, I enjoyed it. You always get one great time with you, Jay Pizzle.
Marco Coleman joining us next week, Sunday, September 29th, the 1 o'clock kick. The 2-1 Indianapolis Colts and the 0-3 Jacksonville Jaguars here at Everbank Field. Tickets at 633-2000 or visit jaguars.com. Senior VP of Communications for the Jags, Dan Edwards. Executive Producer of Jags Radio, Mike Dorwart. Manager of Jaguars Radio, Joe Fortunato. Tim B., Linda Fortunato, Ed Rocco are the producers. Anchor of Jaguars pregame is Jeremy Ratliff. And Jay Gray is the Jaguars pregame reporter. For Marco Coleman, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Vaselli, Brian Sexton, this is J.P. Shadrick saying goodnight. Once again, the final score, Seattle 45, Jacksonville 17 on the Jaguars Radio Network.